Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and joining me, as ever, or for the last time, is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
David is going to shoot me in the head at the end of this episode.
Is that right? Oh, shit. Sorry, I forgot I said that.
So, this will be one of those things where people go, oh, he's gone, and this will be the last recorded memory of me, and so people will have to listen to this as some sort of...
But weirdly, the twist is that the audience carries on with the dead you into the afterlife rather than me, the murderer.
Yeah.
To be more clear, this is my last episode as I am having a baby. So we'll not have the time necessary to commit to Film Fandango for the foreseeable future. But Marek is going to carry the show on.
Yes, I mean, if you do like endless nonsense, this is your worst nightmare.
Yes.
But I am going to be having a guest on every week. And the format's going to be, I'm going to go to the cinema with that person, watch a film with them, try not to touch them.
Yeah.
Leave the cinema, find a quiet space.
Try not to touch them,
make them feel safe and secure, show them all the exits so they can get out safely.
And then touch them. It's a great format. It's a classic format, but it works. It works, yeah, I think it's good.
It's called Film Fandango. It's going to be called Film Fandango Danger Zone.
It's like the Baywatch Nights of podcasts.
Yeah.
It's a bit more raunchy.
I don't know if you know this, but I come in to David's house. It's a bit like Silence of the Lambs, where David...
It's full of moths, isn't it?
David locks himself in a cage. I enter through to the lounge.
Yeah.
I handcuff myself to the seat, and David unlocks himself from the cage and comes into the safe area.
That's right, and that's how we've done it for the last 88 odd episodes.
For the people, 240 odd episodes.
Yeah, it's been a long old road, eh?
Hey, guess what though?
What's that?
It's sponsored, isn't it? This podcast.
This podcast is bizarrely sponsored. It is sponsored by Her Film Project, who are an organisation that help promote diversity in films. So if you'd like to get involved or see what they are up to and if they could help you, then go to herfilmproject.com and follow Her Film Project on Twitter.
Diversity, the English winners of Britain's Got Talent,
Right, they help the dance group in films, yeah.
So it's just films about dance?
Yeah, it's about Ashley Banjos. And the little one with the afro who's no longer very little.
Well, doesn't seem right.
I don't think they need much help, to be honest. They seem quite successful, but that's what Her Film Project want to do. So
no, it doesn't. It's all diverse people.
It is all diverse peoples.
If you've got webbed hands or webbed feet, and you want to get into film, contact them.
Sure. Sure, I mean, your view of diversity is niche, but nonetheless diverse, I think.
Yeah.
So, here we are, about to talk about films once again. We'll talk about two films, we'll read out some letters, that'll be about it.
Well, I thought we could talk about, as it's your last one for a while, and we're going to miss the annual summation of our favourite films.
That's true.
You should maybe do yours now, and I'll talk about a film I've seen, so I know our listeners will want to know about it.
Sure, I mean, I've seen some crackers this year. I mean, people do like to moan that that films are getting worse, but that we must remember there are some really good ones still released. But first things first, what film have you watched?
Well, I was on holiday, so I did not go to cinema, so I bought one off streaming, which was released at the start of this year or end of last year.
It was up for the Oscar last Oscars, wasn't it?
Was it?
So, yes, it was nominated for Best Film.
Captain Fantastic.
Captain Fantastic.
It was Oscar nominated for Best Performance and Actor in Leading Role, Viggo Mortensen.
Ah, right, not the film itself.
No.
So, yes, Viggo Mortensen of Lord of the Rings fame. Who I find very watchable. I enjoy him. I saw, what was it called?
The Road?
No, it was called The Two Somethings
Ronnies?
Of January. Not The Two Ronnies. Two Faces of January, which actually I've never talked about on this. It was a deeply mediocre film. But he is still very watchable in it, you know?
He is always very good.
Yeah.
From his Lord of the Rings days onwards. This, first of all, let's talk about the poster, and it says this is a comedy, a comedy drama. It's not a comedy, it's a drama.
I thought the poster reminded me of a Wes Anderson film,
yes.
Like they were trying to appear kooky family oddness.
It totally looks like a Wes Anderson film,
yeah,
but it's not. It doesn't have the whimsy that some people hate.
Right.
So the story is that Viggo Mortensen, Ben, is this and his rather large family of about six kids live in a sort of in the forests of this sort of American wilderness,
right?
And they're totally self-sufficient. So it starts off, they're basically just hunting a deer, all the family hunting a deer together, and they survive off animals they kill. He teaches them, and they're all exceptionally intelligent, sort of really
yeah.
high-performing kids. The cast of the children are, you'll be pleased to hear, there are no annoying children in this.
That's quite impressive with six.
They're all excellent. George Mackay, who is in loads of stuff now, he's in things like Pride, Defiance. He's this sort of young, sort of slightly googly-eyed actor. He's quite a haunting face. Sunshine and Leaf, I see him, and he's in everything. Sort of this British actor who's the flavour of the month. He's very good as the oldest child, and then yeah, there's lots of other kids.
George Mackay, is this?
Yes, George Mackay, and the very small kids are brilliant as well, and they're funny. Anyway, so
can I just point out at this point?
Yes, you can.
I think there might be a Liverpool FC fan working at IMDb. Because when you put Captain Fantastic into their search engine, you get Captain Fantastic and Steven Gerrard.
Oh, I think that's what he was called, Captain Fantastic.
Steven was Gerrard. He?
Yeah.
How does IMDb know that, though?
It was probably a documentary about him being the great captain, I should think, about Steven Gerrard, the English
Gerrard.
Football player or Liverpool
Captain
stalwart.
Captain Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. But it's not about Steven Gerrard.
No.
What's the story?
So, it's this family. And their mother has basically, it transpires, their mother has a bipolar disease and is quite suicidal. She's not with the family.
Right.
She's been in hospital for a few months, and it turns out she commits suicide. And they all decide to go to her funeral.
Right.
Where they meet the grandparents they're pretty much, he's estranged from, the mother and father-in-law. Sounds like not much happens, but Viggo Mortensen is absolutely brilliant in it. Deserves to get that Oscar nomination.
Who won that Oscar? Do you remember that year?
It wasn't Ryan Gosling. It was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't Denzel Washington. Let's have a look and see who it was. Surely you should be able to click on a link. I don't know. Someone good. You never remember who won him anyway.
Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Anyway, this is—it's just really about sort of, it's about beliefs and the ways of living, and it could be they're hippies, and quite a cynical man, it's very easy for me to be alienated by the idea of hippies living in a self-sufficient commune,
yes,
and their idea of how we live our lives as westernized sort of capitalists being totally wrong. But you do really buy it. I think maybe because I've just come back from holiday in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
I felt as though I had been living this sort of quite hippie-ish life.
Right, and you were enjoying yourself and you felt more relaxed.
And then
you came back to London, which is a capitalist utopia.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
Yeah. And you do feel like that. And that's a great success of a film, if it makes you think in a certain way. Think, yeah. What would it be like living this way? Can we really detach ourselves from this capitalist society and still function, David? Can we?
Well, I think you can in America, where there's plenty of space to disappear into, but
here you'd have to go into the woods in a park, wouldn't you?
Right, and somebody owns those woods, yeah, and they're only about 4 metres square.
And there'd be black bags full of dog shit everywhere.
That's right.
You don't want that, mate.
No,
that's not a utopia. It's a bootopia.
It's bootopia.
I've got myself into bootopia. Well, on paper, it doesn't. I mean, I'm describing it. It sounds quite boring, but the acting's so good,
yeah.
And the interrelationships are so good. And the script's really tight. It's really interesting. The stuff there, it's terrible. They even say don't use the word interesting. I've just used it there.
Who says
in the film? Interesting.
They say it in the film. Interesting. It's interesting and nice, isn't it?
It's very interesting and nice, this film.
Right.
I give it 8 Mareks. I was really surprised. It was not what I thought from the poster. I thought it would be some weird, kooky family thing. That was a sort of slightly weird comedy. It's not about that. It's quite a serious drama. And I don't know why it's in that comedy genre. So don't be put off by that. It feels very original. I really like the cast. The ending sort of peters out a little bit.
Right.
And it didn't maybe need to last for 1 hour and 58 minutes. Shave 20 minutes off it. But Viggo Mortensen is excellent. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Definitely watch it if you found something, fancy something a bit different, that's refreshing, and you're in safe hands. Lovely feeling when you know the film is going to be quite good. As you can tell from the first 10 minutes, it feels like you're in some. I don't know how they do it, but it feels like it's got some structure. They've introduced the characters well without saying, this is the character that does this.
Right.
I'm the crazy one. I'm the one who likes bumming. That one. They don't do that.
They don't do that.
Do it
they just
ways.
Show you them bumming.
I mean,
with
no,
a smile
not,
on their
that's
face.
That's wrong. I don't, no
they
quick.
Show. They show, not tell. So you see them bumming with a smile on their face. Go, oh, they like bumming.
He likes bumming.
Yeah.
He could be in 007 Bum Ghost. That's the film from last week.
You're going straight to the sequel rather than the original.
Yes, I really enjoyed it. 8 Mareks. Watch it on streaming. I think I bought it off Google Play on one of the iTunes, but it'll probably be on Netflix soon.
Yep. Captain Fantastic, there you are, nothing more to say about that. It sounds good. Is it based on a true story, actually?
I don't know either. I guess he's written in.
Hang on.
What?
It's time for this.
Guess who's written in?
Who's written in?
Martin Appleyard, runner-up in the Film Fandango film of the best fan of the year
last year. Second favourite person. Hello, Martin Appleyard. Martin says, dear David Merrick and Buddy, hope you are well. I recently had a YouTube mix of music playing in the background whilst I was working at home. And as normal, it was throwing up lots of weird shit I had never heard before. I wasn't paying much attention until the video for Dissolved Girl by Massive Attack started to play in my peripheral vision. Now, I'm not saying the visuals on this video are the best I have ever seen. In fact, some of it could be described as amateurish, but I was transfixed by the full 6 minute 21 second running time. It was like the Fifth Element had bummed Fritz Lang's Metropolis and Sin City all in one night. It appeared that these visuals came from a 2004 film called Immortal, brackets Ad Vitam, a film I have never heard of before. As the video ended, I genuinely thought to myself, I wonder if David and Marek have seen that, which must mean that I have listened to so many of your podcasts, I have now been brainwashed into actually respecting your opinion on things, which is remarkable, don't you think?
Yes.
Anyway, it really fucking is. We should. I didn't know we wielded that power. We should abuse that power.
Appleyard must be feeling poorly.
Really, really ill in the soul right now.
Yeah.
He continues, anyway, I've decided that I'm not going to track this down and watch it unless you two tell me it's good. Please enlighten me, oh great ones. Keep watching the films. P.S. Have you ever heard the one about the Morgans? Have you heard about the
Did you
Morgans?
Know about
did
the you, Morgans?
Did you
happen upon the Morgans? Did you hear about the Morgans?
Did you bump into the Morgans the other day?
007. 007.
Morgans.
Morgans.
Bump the Morgans. I've not heard of that. The Immortals... Ad Vitam. I looked it up, having pre-read Martin's
there's quite a lot of films called The Immortals.
There is, and there's a but
which one is this one, the 1995 version?
It's got Ad Vitam in the title as well.
How do you spell Ad Vitam?
A-D V-I-T-A-M. It's from 2004, and it stars Linda Hardy.
Well, it's not even coming up, The Immortals Ad Vitam.
There you go.
Oh, Immortal Ad Vitam.
Immortal Ad Vitam.
This is exciting for listeners. What, listening to two men looking up stuff on their phones.
Incompetently Google things. Yeah, I have not heard of this film. It is very, very hard to track down. The visuals look batshit. I mean, there's just one screen grab.
Wow. Can you describe what that screen grab was, please?
This is two men reclining on a bed, one of whom looks fairly normal, one of whom is naked apart from a metal loincloth and a bird's head of some kind.
It's got 6.0 on IMDb.
I mean, it looks like it's inspired by Egyptian mythological imagery, and it looks crazy, but... Well, it might be worth tracking down.
I think I recently did some acting, and there are some other members of the cast you look up when you realise you're acting alongside them playing minor roles. And there was one particular person in this film. Let's just say he was a penis.
Right.
And just doing a minor role. And I thought, what have they done? And I ended up looking at all these films, sort of these sort of British odd horror films, all got 3.4, 3.5.
It's sort of the lower end of cinema that we never actually, no one ever
but
sees.
But there were tons of them.
Yeah.
And I started going into a weird IMDb web of odd, hot. If you like this film, you might like this. Odd films that are rated 3.5. So terrible, low budget, zombie and horror films.
The new B movies, basically. Aren't
Now, where do these films live?
Who knows? Because if they can't even get on streaming services, then how the hell do you access them? You know, they're
the budget. Basically, if you make any film, as soon as you start paying people, then you go into the cost of catering.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's got a daily rate.
Yeah.
All the crew, all the cast, all the line producers. It's almost about 10 grand. You go into about 5 or 10 grand a day easily. Just goes. That's gone. As soon as you start paying people. So... how they can make that, because it's obviously like professional films,
right?
The budgets must be a couple of hundred grand at least.
Yeah, got to be in order to make something, haven't they? Unless everyone's giving their time for free, and then
but if you know what happens to these B movies and where they get sold, please write in and tell me, because I'm be very interested. What's going on
Yeah, but well, I won't, but, well, I might in my spare time, but Marek might look up Immortal Ad Vitam if he can find it.
Okay, well, let's have another letter then, shall we?
Go on.
Here we go.
Here is a letter from Sam about film prices and cinema habits, and he says, "Hi, David, Marek, and Buddy. Love the podcast and have been listening since the start in the pre-Marek days."
Wow!
But this is the first time I've managed to send an email. You asked about cinema prices, and in Bath, the average ticket will set you back. Do you want to guess before I read it out?
I think I've read this before.
All right. Okay. £11.
Okay.
With more for blockbusters, 3D, comfy seats, etc. I categorically think this is far too much. However, they run a limitless scheme that costs £17 a month for limitless tickets, or twice a month to get your money back. This does sound like an ad, so I apologise. Anyway, I now go often enough as to develop cinema habits, such as making the same joke with the cashier about how slow their system is, asking which screen so that I can select the exact seat I want, and being able to quote the ads verbatim to the annoyance of other cinema goers. I now sound like a lunatic, but do you guys have any cinema habits? Keep watching the films, Sam. Do we have any cinema habits? I mean... If I'm with a friend, I am happy to chat quietly until the trailers start. I think talking over the car adverts is absolutely fine. I don't know if you agree or whether that would make people around you tense.
I always go by myself. So now I'm going to have to go with other people And I really don't like
people other people. You hate people.
I hope they don't talk to me during the film, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Punch them. Punch their lights out.
So, incidentally, the Everyman Muswell Hill for Blade Runner, a matinee on a Sunday, £15 a ticket.
15 quid.
It's too much.
It's far too much.
My habits are go for a wee.
Yeah.
And then get my. I go to the shop, get popcorn and a bottle of Coke.
Yeah.
Sneak it into my bag. Go into the cinema. Buy my ticket. Go for a wee.
Yeah.
Sit down, always at the back.
Always at the back.
Never with people in front of me. And then that is it. Put my hat on, leave. Maybe go. Try not to go for a wee mid-film, but often do.
The mid-film wee is an excruciating experience because I always sit there for a good 15 minutes before I go, no, I'm going to have to do it.
I've not spoken about this, have I?
What?
I think it was Anne Coletta, a friend of the show, sent me a link to the best time to go for a wee in Blade Runner.
Right, which is Jared Leto scene.
I think it could have been, but she said it was, without doing any spoilers, there's a confrontation between two women.
Yes.
After that bit.
Right.
You
Why?
Go for a wee.
Why there?
Because that's the least plot things happen.
Okay.
So that's when I went, and then my girlfriend was actually not much. I think I missed, not much happened. I did miss 2 minutes of really nice cinematography there, maybe.
Yes. Yes.
But I used that wee thing, because halfway through I thought, I'm going to need a wee here.
Yeah.
And I came up and I thought, well, thank you for doing that, because it really saved me.
Oh, it's a good idea.
I do think there's this tiny thing in the corner of the screen, a tiny blue box. You know, for the advert.
No, right? just a little box or, with the animation of somebody weeing.
Or just for 3 seconds, a massive dick on camera.
Yeah.
Or a bowl of piss. One, two, three. Or just stop. Piss now.
Piss now.
You can't. Cause the problem then will be that everyone will go to do it at the same time.
Yeah, it's true. What if in the cinema you could just press a button on your seat and just a sort of dome goes over you? Like, it needn't be that expensive, just like a polythene dome or something, and you can just piss into the sort of the gutter in front of you.
Oh, I think it will cost. I'd hate to be the poor kid just to go around and clean all the piss domes.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Although it might make the floor less sticky.
If you have got an invention better than piss domes, why not write in?
Go to filmfandango.com and fill out the form, and Marek will get it from there.
I would especially like to hear about piss domes, domes, or ways of going to the loo inside the cinema. Right, do you want another letter, David?
Yes, please.
You can read this one out, because I can't bother to read anymore.
Fine. You're getting your money's worth out of me.
Yeah.
Okay, this one is from Simon Iberson, and he's talking about the lunchbox. He says, "Greetings, Marek, David, Buddy, Arsehole Dog, and maybe one of the other Penny Dreadfuls. Hello. Have either of you seen the Indian film, The Lunchbox? Basically, you have, haven't you?
Yes.
Basically, there's an Indian service where lunches made by wives in the morning are ferried to their husbands who've already gone to work. It seems insanely complicated, but apparently really accurate. Basically, one such lunch goes astray, and the wife in question and the actual unintended recipient have an unrequited emotional affair. It's beautiful, very softly spoken and understated, but the food they make throughout the film looks so amazing that it kept drawing my attention. Have you ever had your enjoyment of a film affected by some aspect of the film being too good? Keep watching the films, Simon." FYI, I have a blog where I watch Doctor Who with my daughter and we review it. Dad, daughter, doctor. Okay, fine. You can Google that, try and find it. Have you ever been distracted by something in a film being too good? It's very hard to...
That's a hard question.
That's a hard question.
My memory's completely addled anyway. Don't know. I have seen Lunchbox though. I saw it about, I think about, reviewed on here about a year ago.
Yeah, and I think you quite enjoyed it, didn't you?
Yeah, it's great. What's great is the whole the tiffin tin type things they have in India, where it is still quite sort of male, you know, work oriented. With the blokes who normally go to work, and their wives cook them the food for their lunch, and then they have an absolutely mental delivery system.
Yeah.
They've got the whole tins for their lunch, and they all somehow turn up at the right place right at lunchtime.
It's like a 1 hour postal service just for your food.
It's really, there's documentaries about it which are fascinating. because what it does is it gives you a real insight into sort of home culture, the sort of street culture and work culture right. in India. I mean, watching one just about tiffin tins and how they're made and how they turned up, and the lunches are incredible. I mean, absolutely shit on pat lunches I got when I was at school. I got a marmalade sandwich and a bongo and a Kit Kat.
Well, because that lunch had to be made at breakfast time.
Yeah.
And it's got to still be all right. Whereas the tiffin tin is still hot, right? Is it sometimes?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
They're quite... So this film is great because you get to just watch this back and... It's quite a unique film. I think I quite enjoyed it, but wasn't ultimately satisfied. I think about Seven Marriages, something like that.
Okay.
It's worth watching, though. It's worth for something a bit different. All right.
Is it your favourite film about lunchboxes?
It's the only film about lunchboxes.
It can't be the only film about lunchboxes.
I think it is. I'm going to read one more letter.
All right.
This is from Pip, who talks about Bristol cinema. And you remember a couple of episodes ago, I talked about a place where you could watch any film ever.
That's right.
In Bristol.
And I said, surely not any film ever.
Well, the film place in Bristol, Merrick couldn't remember, is called 20th Century Flicks. The cinema holds 12 people, and you can pretty much see pretty much every film ever made. But I imagine films like Star Wars are watched the most. Which leads to my question. Which actor would you like to re-watch a film they star in with, and which film would you watch with them? Mine would either be Ewan McGregor and Trainspotting, because it's my favourite, or Nicole Kidman and the Stepford Wives, just to ask why. Pip from Bristol.
All right, good question. What film would you watch with the star of it? Would you want to? Who would be good to watch a film with?
Well, I really fancied the lady, the princess in Flash Gordon, which I often talk about. I mean,
oh, she's going to be in her 60s now.
Yeah, she's 37 years ago. So she's going to be in her 60s. Her name is Ornella Muti. I would watch Flash Gordon with her.
Sounds fun. That sounds fun.
Or with Timothy Dalton, that would be quite good.
I'd quite like to watch Princess Bride with Mandy Potemkin. I think that would be quite good. He looks quite fun. I would.
Who would you not want to watch a film with? I would not want to watch Hamlet with Kenneth Branagh.
Well, because he'd have to spend 4 hours with Kenneth Branagh.
4 hours listening to him talk about himself.
You think he would talk through his own film?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's a difficult one to predict because he'd be talking. So would he talk over himself talking?
The same as DVD commentaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my friend Paul...
I'd quite like to watch Jabberwocky with Michael Palin. I think that would be good.
It's a really good question, Pip. I think it's great. Another one... About a Boy is one of my favourite films. And my friend Paul said he watched a DVD behind the scenes with...
Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. I'd like to watch that with Hugh Grant. I think it'd be quite a good laugh.
I think Hugh Grant probably is quite a nice bloke. You know... good question.
It's a great question.
Yeah. Is that it for letters?
Yeah, that's it for letters.
All right. So I was going to run through my favourite films I've seen this year. I mean, it's... I feel like I've not quite got to see everything that's come out. I mean, obviously, I'm still looking forward to a few films.
What's left to come out, do you know?
Well, Marek, you know... I'm still looking forward to The Death of Stalin. I think that might be quite fun. I'm looking forward to Thor Ragnarok. I know it's a superhero film, but I love the films of Taika Waititi, mm-hmm. So I think he's going to make something really good. I am not particularly looking forward to Murder on the Orient Express with Kenneth Branagh, with an even more preposterous moustache than he had in Hamlet. I am looking forward to the latest Star Wars, because I always will. No matter how crappy they become. But, it looks quite fun. The trailers look fun. I'm a big fan of Mark Hamill, and it'll be nice to actually see him get a properly big role again.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating.
Because we haven't seen him do that for...
Ever.
One, since Return of the Jedi.
I mean, the one... What was that Slipstream one he did? I can't remember what it was called.
What?
He did one here when he was an evil sort of pilot in a film in the sort of 80s, I think.
Okay.
As usual, I don't know what I'm talking about.
And as usual, I have no idea either. So
I'm sure it's called Slipstream or something.
Slipstream, okay.
Yes, it was. I remembered it right. 1989, Bob Peck, Mark Hamill, Slipstream. In a near future where Earth has been devastated by natural disasters and giant winds for the planet, bounty hunter Matt kidnaps a murderer out of the hands of two policemen. Rating 4.9 on IMDb.
Boom. 4.9. Okay, so going through the films that I've watched this year, that I've written down, I've reviewed on this app to remind myself what I've seen. It's terrible when you get to that point, isn't it? But nonetheless, here I am. I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore. I thoroughly enjoyed. I thought it was excellent. It's a Netflix original, as they call them. So I thoroughly recommend that. It is a film that stars Melanie Lynskey and Elijah Wood.
Made by the same guy who made Blue Ruin and
Green Room. It's a Macon Blair film. He made Blue Ruin and Green Room, as Marek says. And it's thoroughly worth it. It's a very well-made film. Logan, I thought, was the best superhero film in a long, long time by going, basically, pairing it all back to independent movie levels of just being a study of character with some very good filmmaking. And it's a beautifully done piece, and it puts all of the CGI flying around punching each other to shame. It shows just how boring all of that really is. But all you need is some good characters, and that is it. And you know, it's excellent. I know you won't have seen it, but it's,
I think I've heard good things from a lot of people about it.
It's an incredible thing that they made a couple of good films at the beginning with Wolverine. You know, I enjoyed, they feel dated now, but I enjoy Bryan Singer's X-Men and X2. The third one then that Bryan Singer didn't direct was terrible. And then they've made a couple of Wolverine films since then, and he's cameoed in the new ones. And so this is a character we've been with for a long old time, and most of the films he's been in have been rubbish. But they ended on a high, which is very good, because I think it's the role that made Hugh Jackman's career, really. Logan is well worth it, and even if you don't like superhero films, it is a good watch. Get Out is another one that I absolutely loved this year. It split people slightly with just with the twists and turns in it, but it's excellent screenplay and a fantastic debut from Jordan Peele. I think it'll be interesting what he does next. You saw Get Out.
I thought it was very good, yes.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. Free Fire, I thoroughly enjoyed. That is Ben Wheatley's film, 1 hour and 31 minutes, entirely set in a shootout in a warehouse. And again, it's just taking it down to basics, keeping it simple, some characters and a very, very tense situation, and some fantastic actors in it. That's all you need. It's all you need. I thoroughly enjoyed it. One of my absolute favourites of the year has got to be Lady Macbeth. It's not a retelling of Macbeth, as people. It's just based upon a novella, I think, of the same name. But it's vaguely thematically related. So it is Florence Pugh is the young actress who plays Catherine, and it's about her being married, but basically traded into a family in Newcastle, a well-to-do family in Newcastle, and being bored out of her mind, having to basically stay in this prison of a house as she slowly builds up her own will and her own agency within it. And it's haunting and brilliant, and her central performance is absolutely fantastic. I've seen a film since that I haven't talked about, because it's from like 2014 or something, I think. Or maybe 15, but it was called The Falling, which starred Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones, who plays Arya Stark, and Florence Pugh as well. And Florence Pugh won awards for her acting in it, but the film didn't really get much traction. And actually, I watched it because my cousin Magda was in it, straight out of university or drama school, I can't remember. And she's since decided she doesn't want to be an actor, But
it was that bad.
Well, she was in a small role in it, and it ended up getting cut. So she's in the background of some shots. I did actually manage to spot her, but there's no point watching it for that. And she's since quit. So I watched it for that. Interesting enough, it's about a female friendship that's a little intense, and it's about sort of this spate of faintings in an all-girls school, and whether or not it's psychosomatic or supernatural or what's going on, it's a bit of a mystery.
Good.
It is neither one thing nor the other. It doesn't quite hold the tension needed, and I don't think it's fair to blame Maisie Williams' central performance.
Is she annoying, though?
She's not annoying. She's just... Florence Pugh is better. As a film actress, Florence Pugh is just hypnotically good. For someone so young, it's just brilliant. And Maxine Peake is in it as well and is fantastic. But for me, actually, the screenplay is sort of... It's not quite interesting enough, and it sort of has a few repeated beats. But... Florence Pugh, again, Lady Macbeth, she's the lead character, and it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I mean, I feel like I'm just doing a list, but so be it. War for the Planet of the Apes, I enjoyed as a war film. Even though it's got monkeys in, it's still a good war film. It needn't have monkeys in, it's still good. There's not much else to say about that. And then the one I mentioned last week, The Endless, actually, I think is one of my favourites, and it's a little independent film that you will not hear of anywhere else. It's unlikely to anyway, but track it down if you can. It's if you like weird sort of sinister thrillers, it's a real goodie.
007 Bum Ghost.
007 Bum Ghost as well would have to be my top pick of 2017.
I know that next time our good friend Smith Parkman writes in.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be about 007 Bum Ghost.
Hopefully. He's gone weirdly quiet, hasn't he?
Well, you insinuated that Smith Parkman, and we're referring to a letter we received about 3 episodes ago, was a bot and not a real person.
Well, I'm saying he's a replicant, but maybe... But do internet bots who email you nonsensical things have souls, man?
Well, I think Smith Parkman does, yeah.
Smith Parkman. Maybe that was Ryan Gosling's character's real name in... Blade Runner 2049.
I'm definitely going to put Smith Parkman in 007 Bunk.
Yeah, you should.
Here comes Buddy.
Here comes Buddy the dog.
Just time to say goodbye, Buddy.
Oh, Bud, we're going to say goodbye now. Oh, this is quite sad. If you've skipped to the end, or you didn't hear last week, this is my last episode as Danielle Ward and I are having a baby. So Buddy and I will not be here for the foreseeable, but Marek is carrying on as normal next week, but with a slightly different format, albeit still slightly poorly researched ramblings about films.
Nonsensical.
Yeah.
Just ill thought through nonsense.
Yeah. Well, so before we go, I did want to say thank you, basically. It has been a huge part of my life, this, as I've done it weekly for... It's 312 weeks or something now. And so everyone who's written in and interacted with the podcast or just silently listened like a strange person in the corner, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Marek will be back next week.
Yeah. Keep on donating all your money.
That's the important bit. And keep watching the film.
Keep watching the film. Bye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.